Second and goal. Down by 10. That ball was tipped, I think, and picked off. Off the hands of McCaffrey and into the arms of Drake Thomas. I think that ball was tipped out of the hand of Purdy. And Thomas ends up with it. John Schneider loving it.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Darryl the Guru Johnson today. Real quick, listen to Christian McCaffrey.
It's a play that I have to make, absolutely have to make. Expect nothing less but to make that play, and it's completely on me.
It's not, Christian. It's not. That fingernail or tip of the finger was probably the difference between him catching it and not. It may have redirected the ball 6 inches.
These things happen.
It hit him in both hands.
I'm just saying.
Did he have 10 fingers?
I'm just saying.
Catch the ball.
It's not all his fault. The ball got tipped.
Dude. You're talking about wherewithal, whoever that linebacker is for the Niners. Who is Sir Francis Drake Thomas? Who is that guy? I've never seen him before, and he was the best player, well, at least statistically, for Seattle of the linebacking corps. I know Ernest Jones. I know Devon Witherspoon. I know other guys on that. I don't know who Sir Francis Drake Thomas is, but he came up with the biggest play of the game, and your best player on offense can't do it? I'm sorry. There's no excuse.
Well, there's no excuse.
Also, put the ball on the turf in the Super Bowl. You want to go there?
All I'm saying is Christian McCaffrey's doing the right thing and saying it's 100% all on me. No, it's not. Might be 90. Might be 90.
99.
No.
0.9.
Only 90 for me. Ball got tipped. But I don't know. Do you want to go there?
I didn't know it was tipped until you saw the inch-by-inch replay.
And then you could see it redirected a little bit.
But the point was, Steiny.
I'm not saying he shouldn't have caught it.
People in real time are blaming Brock or blaming this,
blaming that.
I'm not blaming
Brock. I'm just saying the ball got, yes, but the ball got tipped. Could it have been thrown better? That's all I'm asking.
If that was a backup running back, you're killing him today. But because it's Christian McCaffrey, we got to protect McCaffrey.
Oh, my. Let me guess, you're one of these guys who thinks, well, he now dropped.
You disappoint
by the way,
me.
They were down 10
you
when he dropped
me.
It. Secondly, let me guess.
If that was Curry, you would be going after him. If that was any of the big boys on the Dubs, you would be talking about it. But because it's McCaffrey,
I just said it's
we can't
90,
come down his road.
I said it's 90% his fault.
This is 438th catch of the
maybe
the
you know
touch,
what? Yeah. Maybe all that caught up to him. The touches, the
Are you
pounding.
Saying he's wearing down?
Maybe.
He's declining?
Possible.
McCaffrey.
Well, I'm just saying this year.
You know, you just got to look at his numbers and stuff.
Yeah, his numbers are great, except in the biggest game of the year. By the way, and in all honesty, I'm having a little bit of fun. You couldn't just turn and give the ball to McCaffrey. Like, you couldn't, I think it was Sam, you said that before the break. You couldn't just turn and hand the ball off to McCaffrey. You only had 12 rushes because you didn't have the ball. You didn't have the ball and you couldn't run the ball.
I know. Like, that to me, I'm with
you. You know what
you
could do? You could throw it to him.
Well, that...
And they tried.
I know.
And he dropped it.
I mean, what team is... Has that been the only team this year that's taken McCaffrey out of the passing game? And then they also happen to do it in the running game, so he's no factor. Like,
I mean, Houston, I guess. But that's the thing. It's like elite defenses can do that. And the Niners...
Well, they're getting one next week.
You didn't even have Ricky Pearsall.
Well, they're getting an elite defense next week, aren't they?
They should be, yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking is, you know, your offense struggled against Houston... It struggled against Seattle. You know, you struggle. If you don't put up points against Philly, I just said, like, what's that say about the offense? That, okay, you're
that
right.
They can be beat by great defenses.
Right, but I didn't know great defenses could shut us down.
Well, if you got Austin Pleasance protecting the blinds, God love Pleasance, but that was an unpleasant performance, and I'm going to give myself a one. Yeah. That was bad, just like that joke. The Niners on offense... We're unable to do anything. And I know that Brock ends up with the pick, and people are going to say he should have done more. But, like, if you – I mean, seriously. And if people want to call in and, you know, voice their opinions, I'd love it. But, like, watching that football game, I'm sitting there wondering what the hell Brock Purdy is supposed to do. Nobody's open. He can't run. He's extending it plays as long as he can. The skedaddle and magic that was on full display – a week ago on Sunday Night Football, There was no room for that. And Seattle just strangled him the entire game.
By the way, I know people are going to be like, well, you've always had a problem with this guy, Steiny. And you might be right. Kyle Juszczyk didn't belong on the field. he didn't belong on the field.
You are a new man in 2026.
That game was overwhelming for him.
Well, what's he supposed to do?
I just say turf? Well, no, he was a guy who was absolutely no factor. None.
He
zero.
Is no factor when it comes to gaining yards.
Go to him on fourth and one. Give me a break.
Well, he caught a touchdown last week.
Bottom line is, like, can the 49ers, who they're down Ayuk, they're down Pearsall, can they really afford to have an offensive player on the field that doesn't do anything but block? When you're already down weapons?
Oh,
a thought.
He does a lot. Hey, how about part of this was also on the defense, too. Did you see George Kittle's stat line at halftime?
No.
4 catches for 9 yards. When has George Kittle ever had 4 catches for 9 yards in his life? He caught one behind the line of scrimmage and got hit for a loss of 5, and it was like he had nowhere to go.
I've never seen him get tackled like that before.
He's usually the one inflicting punishment. And that's also part of it, too. It's like there were just so many plays where, and this is what happens when good football teams go head-to-head. You find out which guy goes forward and which guy goes backwards. And more often than not, when Seattle, whether it was on offense or defense, was hitting someone, the Niners were the team going backwards.
Yeah.
And they still had a chance.
Let's go to Dennis. Dennis is in San Francisco. Hey, Dennis, how you doing, man?
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
What's up, D? So,
good. Well, you know, I thought that the Chicago game took a lot out of the Niners, and they surely didn't look ready to play against Seattle. But I think Seattle had a lot to do with that. They, you know, the Niners. I didn't expect them to be there. You know, I never expected them to be 12-5 this year. I mean, what they did in the off season, you know, they didn't do anything in the off season except for watch people go out the door, so I don't think they expected to be there either, because if they would have, don't you think that they would have liked to have had some defensive help on Saturday? You know, if they would have traded for somebody at the trade deadline, you know, to help the defense. That defense they've known since those injuries has been, you know, is it's god-awful. They can't tackle anybody. You know, they can't guard anybody in the pass patterns, and they can't tackle anybody. And, you know, and they've just had a tough time. I never expected them to be here, but I got caught up in two, and I was hoping that I got caught up in the excitement because, you know, like the offense, I've always been complaining about the offensive line, but I would say in the second half they played better. But you could see what happened to them on Saturday night. That offensive line was overwhelmed by Seattle's defensive front, and they had no answer for it. And that's basically the games are won and lost in the trenches. You know what I mean? I'm hoping they win in Philly, but I'm not really expecting them to win in Philly.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate the call. I will say this about the Chicago game, and I remember telling Goo this early last week. Remember how the Chicago game ended? It ended on the last play of the game, pretty much.
Yeah, no, I mean, it did, yeah.
And I remember after the game was over, there were about 5 49ers that just stayed on the ground. You know what I mean? Just the game was over. Not that they were hurt, but
they were exhausted.
And it was, you could tell, like, that was an emotional win for the Niners last week. And, I mean, of course, I'm not saying they weren't ready to play this week, but I do think sometimes that takes a toll. The week before takes a toll, and that was a monster win for him last week. Let's go to Richie in Queens. Hey, Richie, what's going on, man?
Hey, boys, how are you? Happy New Year.
Same to you,
Rich.
Hey, that was a tremendous defensive game by Seattle. They were totally overwhelmed. You know, the thing I kind of attribute a little bit in the beginning, if you would have said that they give up 13 points, you probably would have sold. You would have said, wow, the way our offense is going, we're going to sneak in at least a couple of touchdowns, field goal. And then early enough where Donald, again, I know he played pretty good and it was no real mistakes, but with all the offense that they had, you would have thought they'd been up 21-0, and the Niners were in the game and had their opportunities, and then they slipped away. And I think, respectfully, I think that they really feel there's nobody going to beat them downfield. They played a lot of man-to-man. Ayuk is the guy that would open the field for them, open the screen passes, take away the linebackers a little bit where they have to play a little bit further back. So, yeah, I think those key – look, everybody has injuries, but you guys lost some key guys. And, you know, where you were 3 years ago with Samuel and Ayuk and guys like that, that just opened the field and made it so much better. And could it have been a better game plan, maybe, a little bit more screen passes? But it was dominance. Now, against the Eagles, I followed them. I'm up in PA now. They're an enigma because they have everything going for them, but they just go into funks. They'll be up. They were up 21-3 or 21-0 against Dallas. They were up 13-0 the other game. They almost lost to Buffalo. Hurts didn't throw a pass the second half. You look at their offense with Brown and Smith and Goddard and obviously Barkley, and you wonder why they're not better. And their defense, their secondary can be beat. Purdy's going to have to really make some big plays. So could they go into Philly and win? It's not going to be that cold this weekend, guys. The forecast is going to be in the 40s. Yeah, they can, because, again, Philly is not the same team as last year. But for them, like you talked about, one game away from getting home field all the way. That's major, and it's probably going to come back and bite them.
Yeah, good stuff.
Always a pleasure talking to you guys.
Yeah, same to you, Richie. Have a great, great new year. So how many years did McCaffrey overlap with Deebo Samuel? Was it just one?
One and a half, okay. Because he was traded middle of 22.
This is what I think Richie's talking about. Last time they went to the Super Bowl, didn't they have McCaffrey, Ayuk, Deebo, Kittle, and Jennings was their number two, pretty much?
Yeah, essentially.
So they went into that game yesterday with McCaffrey and Kittle.
Yep, and you could make a case that Kittle was probably not 100% because he was out the week before.
So that's the thing. They don't have a lot of weapons right now. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. I mean, yeah, we could talk about Philly all week. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine Philly's not going to want to run the football. I mean, this is when you can run Saquon Barkley 30 times if you need to, right?
Yes, but this is the thing, though, and the biggest difference between Philly and Seattle to me is, on paper, you look at the Eagles and you say, why doesn't Saquon run the ball 30 times like he did last year? Well, because last year he averaged 6 yards a carry. This year he's averaging a little over 4. It's the same thing with McCaffrey. Whoa, why didn't the Niners just run McCaffrey? Because McCaffrey's averaging 3.9 yards per carry. Like, whether it's because of the offensive line or McCaffrey or the lack of weapons to take pressure off of him, they're not as good of a rushing offense as they've been in the past. Meanwhile, Seattle, I mean, you saw it. They had a buck 20 in the first half on the ground. I thought the Niners actually defensively played pretty well against the run in the second half. You saw them starting to load the box more. The Niners, at least in recent weeks, have been a team to typically play more of a 3-4, so they have 5 guys on the line of scrimmage. Against Seattle, they had mostly 4. You know, I thought in the second half it worked. They were not able to run the ball as much, and I thought that Sam Darnold had to make some plays, and he did enough. But, like, let me ask you this. Do you think the Seattle Seahawks, the way they played that game, did it seem like they trusted Sam Darnold to go beat the Niners? I don't. I don't think Kubiak wanted him to put the ball in. He made a couple plays, and he had one really nice pass to Smith and Jigba.
But
he had a couple of rushes on that final drive. But, like, Sam Darnold was not the reason why the Niners lost that football game.
No, I think Seattle came in with a game plan of, we have to be the team that exploits this defense with the run and stay committed to it. And when we have the pass, we'll make safe passes. And I think that over the course of the game, they figured we're better than them at just about every aspect of the game. So eventually we'll win the game if we play smart, don't turn it over. Like, they didn't have to be super dynamic to beat the Niners. You know what I mean? I think they thought a good, solid football game without making mistakes will beat the Niners. By the way, somebody on the text line saying, you know, why talk about Ayuk and Debo? They're gone. You're right. I don't want to talk about them. I'm just saying, compare the weapons on that Super Bowl team from a couple years ago to the weapons that they're throwing out there, that they threw out there Saturday night, and it's not even close. I mean, the reality of the situation is Ricky Pearsall is injury prone, and something happened with Brandon Ayuk. And when you score 3 points in the biggest game of the year and you can't throw the ball, then it's fair to look at what happened to the receiving core. And now it's, you got one young guy you got to be worried about that might not be able to make it through full seasons. And then you had your other guy who was your number one, and he's gone now. He's just gone. And while it's not the end of the world, it leaves you one quality receiver short.
Well, and this is going to sound harsh, but even if Ricky Pearsall had played in that game, he would have gotten hurt. Like, I'm dead ass serious. Like, do you see the way they threw Juwan Jennings to the turf on his first catch?
Yeah, he was hurt too.
And he bit it, and yep, he played through that game, and he's tough as nails. Ricky Pearsall hasn't shown that he can play through a full football game and not get hurt against, like, a physical defense like that. So even if Pearsall was out there, I mean, he would have been on the sideline regardless. I mean, that's just the way that his career's kind of gone, unfortunately. But yeah, the Niners were thrown to DeMarcus Robinson and a less than 100% Juwan Jennings, and that's just not good enough against a secondary like that.
I mean, what I was kind of watching, what I felt like I was watching, and maybe Seattle just did this to him, but the 49ers, they have no explosive players. Now, I know people will say what he's talking about, McCaffrey, and I get it. McCaffrey's, you know, he's solid. Like, he's the foundation of the offense. But when he is struggling like he was, like, big plays are out of the question.
Well, they didn't even have enough time to put together a big play.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know what Pearsall would have done or not, but at least he's got some speed. Like, they don't have enough weapons right now.
He killed Seattle in week one. You know, I know a lot of his yardage came on that last drive and that big 40-plus yard delivery by Purdy, which set up the game-winning touchdown. But, I mean, he's shown that he can do it against the Seahawks. I just, like, recently, and maybe that's why for the 49ers kept him and Trent out of that game. Like, yes, it was a massive game. If it's the playoffs, I'm assuming, and next week they will, like, I would hope that both of them are out there, but maybe that was the difference. It wasn't a do-or-die game. You know, if that was for a playoff berth, maybe we do see both Trent Williams and Ricky Pearsall out there.
By the same token, you could make a case that if they lose that game, their chances are 15% to win the Super Bowl, and if they win that game, their chances are 50% to win the Super Bowl. So play, hope we win, are unscathed, and now they have 2 weeks off, maybe. I get it. Well, I mean, I'm not questioning
it's like burning
that.
A pitcher in game four, right? Down 3-1.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you still have to win those next games, but you got to get to the next game. Like, I think that game drastically impacted the 49ers' chance to win a Super Bowl.
No doubt.
It just did. And that's why people are sitting here on Monday thinking, damn, what could have been?
Let's go to Jeff in Marin. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, you know, look, I think this has a lot to do with the offensive game plan, too. If you think about the previous games, like against the Colts and the Bears, it was the most wide-open offense I've seen with Shanahan since I can remember. I kept on waiting in the game, where's the rollouts? And when they finally, in the second half, had Purdy roll out, what happened? The offense started moving right down the field, on the ground and in the air, and but for that kind of fluky tipped ball that led it to, you know, an interception of McCaffrey, they were right there on the doorstep about to score 7. So I think that's a big thing. I think also, you know, people calling and say, well, you know, Purdy was holding the ball too long. Purdy had to hold the ball because nobody was getting open. And I think, you know, one of your previous callers talked about how we need a real number one. I think if Pearsall is healthy, he can be that. But as you guys are saying, he got, you know, his nickname should be Crystal. He can't stay on the field. When he's on it, he's great. but they need, in my opinion, to do a couple things. One, they need to get a true number one who can stay healthy. Good luck with that. They need to spend some draft capital on the offensive line. And, you know, even when Bosa comes back, they and Mikal Williams does, you know, they need somebody who can be a pass rusher. And so it's a lot of things that they have a need for. I'm thrilled that they got as far as they have. I think, can they beat Philadelphia? Yeah, but they sure as heck better open up the offensive game plan like they did in those previous games. What do you guys think?
No, I'm with you, Jeff. And Evan shared a story. And I hope I'm not talking out of turn, but
you always drop dime on me, so yeah. I should expect nothing different in 2026.
So Evan and Carter Chickering went to the game together.
Oh yeah,
and you know, Carter was on his way home.
Well, we carpooled.
Yeah, that's right. You're in the same car.
I drove,
and Carter just said, "Do you know what we got to do now? We have to win at Philly, at LA." And then at Seattle. That's why this was such a brutal loss. Because that's what they have to do now. And there's no getting around it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you never know. Teams could get knocked off and stuff like that. But
they can't play a home game unless somehow the Packers get to the NFC Championship along with the Niners.
Think about the insanity of that.
Yeah, they're not going to be a Levi's. I was sipping the Kool-Aid a little bit after the Sunday night win. And just being there on Saturday at Laughing Monk, I was thinking, God, this would be great. I'm going to come back here in 2 weeks, and you know we're going to have another three-hour show, and people are going to have a good time. The wings are absolutely delicious, and there's giveaways and prizes, and people are having a fun time. And then they lost the game, and I'm walking back to the car with Carter. I'm just, we're probably not going to come back here this year. Unless it's obviously the Super Bowl, but that path is far more daunting. You know, when you win on the road to get to the Super Bowl, you have to beat the best teams. Yeah. And to your point, you laid this out earlier, and it's unfortunately really sobering. It's like, who are the teams they've lost to this year? They're all playoff teams. And you got to go win those games on the road. On the road.
Yeah. I mean, I like what... I like what Kyle Shanahan said after the game about what they got to do now.
I mean, it's what we expected. I mean, just with their defense, we expected to do better than we did. But we knew it was a good defense. We knew that in week one. We knew it from watching tape all week. We knew it would be a challenge. And they got us in a number of moments, had a couple opportunities, I thought, that we missed. And you can't miss those versus a team like that.
All right, this is the one where he talks about the path now being much more difficult.
No, we're ready for it. I mean, yeah, it would have been nice to, you know, have two to have a home game here, or both home games, and get a bye. But it is what it is. I mean, this team's been through a lot this year. Now we got to do it the hard way, and we'll embrace out doing it the hard way, and look forward to it.
All right, Kyle Shanahan. I like the way he handled that. Just said, "Yeah, it would have been nice." He didn't say, "Yeah, this is devastating." I mean, I don't think any coach would. But
I think that's also where the playoff experience does come into play. It's like, the Niners lost a big game to the Seahawks, but they've also been in this position before. They have won multiple games on the road as an underdog. They did it with Jimmy Garoppolo.
There's also a few games this year that Mac Jones quarterbacked, and we're saying they probably don't have a chance to win this game.
That's the reason why they're in that game in the first place.
Like, to me, you know what would be the most fitting for the Niners this year is to go to Philly and win that game. Like that would continue the kind of season to me that they're having. That the minute you think, oh, you know what, it's everything's, you know, we're not that good and we're gonna, this is when they win the next game. 888-957-9570. I see calls. I'm gonna get you on the other side. I want to give everybody a shot at it today. But the 49ers are going to Philly thanks to Seattle's 13-3 win at Levi's Stadium. By the way, no rain, right? No rain. It was just a little damp.
A little rain on the way back, but okay. No, it was pretty nice.
All right. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Kyle Shanahan in year number 9, and there is second-year head coach Mike McDonald. 10-win team a year ago and 14-win team here in 2025-26, and they will get the bye with the number one seed.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Interesting. That's Joe Buck on the call.
You.
ESPN. Can I ask, you know what? I need
Do
to.
You know how frustrating it is? Like.
Okay, so you think I should know every guy who announces a game,
no.
what station they work for?
No.
I don't.
I don't.
I don't.
You watched the highlights again this morning.
Yeah.
You
I know
watched
it's Joe
the game
Buck.
Live.
Yeah.
What channel did
no
you
idea.
Watch?
I have no idea. YouTube TV. Okay, Joe Buck, courtesy of Joe Buck, YouTube TV.
It was a primetime game.
Right. So I could have watched.
There's only one game every week on ESPN, and Joe Buck does it.
Okay.
And it's Damn, all... Steiny.
Yeah, I don't follow.
He's been doing
I cover
games
sports,
for 30
not the media.
Years.
I cover sports,
He's
not
done
the media.
Literally only World Series and the NFL. Oh my God.
I know two people, Fitz and Kalen Azubuki. They work for
NBC Sports Bay Area. And Tim Roy on 95.7
right.
The Game.
Seriously,
like I heard,
it,
you
I was watching.
That.
I was watching the Eagles, the end of the Eagles game. Ross Tucker was on the call, by the way. You think I know who broadcast that game?
Well, you should know that Ross Tucker works for CBS in addition to his work with Odyssey. It's
and
like,
I'll be happy to
he's
tell
your
him.
Friend. Well, kind of. Not really. You guys have a fake relationship. But
you think he knows we're an Odyssey station, Ross?
Yes.
Well, he might, but.
yes, I think he does. Now, I don't expect you to know. Okay, so yesterday, the Browns-Bengals game, right? Like, Myles Garrett gets his record-setting sack. Burrow kind of fell down. Garrett gets his record-setting sack. Tom McCarthy's on the call. I don't expect you to know who Tom McCarthy is.
No.
Although he does call games for the Phillies, and so I thought you might have that connection. But
See the
that's
guy got suspended?
No. Yeah. No. That was Tom Brennerman. Anyways, for the Phillies, yes, he does those games, but he's like the third or fourth voice on CBS. I know that. I don't expect you to know that.
And I didn't.
Neither here nor there. But Joe Buck, that guy's an institution. Whether you like him or hate him, he's
Has he
been
always
around.
Who does he work for?
ESPN.
And he's worked for ESPN for 30 years?
No, but he's been
exactly. Exactly. So who else did he work for?
Steiny,
when did he start at ESPN?
How many Monday Night Football games have you watched this season?
Not a lot.
At least one because the Niners were playing the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Brock Purdy threw three picks
so
that
who,
game.
So who announced that game?
Joe Buck!
Okay. On Sorry. What station?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
All I'm telling you is ESPN, ABC, Amazon Prime, The Ticket. They're all the same to me. I can't tell them apart.
Who the F?
Yeah, I am.
Hey, by the
I
way,
am
you
a
didn't,
piece of work.
You That's didn't. You didn't. you didn't start to go down a road. Well, you, it
I
looked
did.
Like you started to go down a road and then realized it was not going to work out well.
What are you talking
are you,
about?
Are you really going to say? Are you really going to say? Are you really going to boil Christian McCaffrey's career as a San Francisco 49er? You're going to boil it down to a fumble on the opening drive of the Super Bowl. And then a drop when they were two scores down in a fourth quarter. Hit the pike.
Hey, look, Steiny. All I'm going to say is this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Two biggest games of Christian McCaffrey's career. I know he didn't technically get the turnover on that play on Saturday. He should have. All I'm saying is there was a lot of people walking out of that stadium at Levi's, which I was at, and I was there to hold the tears of all those Niners fans. I was walking around with a bucket. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it, but it didn't rain, so I had to go with tears. Christian McCaffrey was in a lot of people's mouths. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
it was in their mouths after the Super Bowl, too, because they were rolling. By the way, two drives. You could say the two best drives of those two games. Christian McCaffrey, Super Bowl. What was that, opening drive, second drive? Puts the ball on the turf. This drive on Saturday night in Seattle, the only drive where they looked like some semblance of the offense that we've known and grown accustomed to the last 6 weeks, Christian McCaffrey, E6, bobble bobble.
If I'm not mistaken.
I thought he played for the Giants.
You know how I'm losing my memory, but things stick in my mind?
Okay.
Didn't McCaffrey have 80 rushing yards and 80 receiving yards in the Super Bowl.
How many of those did he get in overtime? How many in regulation?
Okay.
The majority of them.
Okay.
That was also when he was supposedly the MVP. I hate you're making me take this side, but I'm going to be... No, seriously, there were a lot of people saying that. Christian McCaffrey in big games.
I mean, I look at that game and say, like, I don't think Christian McCaffrey was shut down. I mean, I guess you could say that. They didn't have the ball.
He was shut down against Seattle. He was absolutely shut down. Okay, so when Brandon Ayuk...
I'm not going to argue whether he was shut down or not. What I'm saying is, I don't think a lot of running backs get a lot of yards in that game.
Well, they do if they play for the Seahawks, but...
I'm talking about behind the Niners line against that defense.
Okay, so...
Did it seem like McCaffrey
Why do we kill quarterbacks in big games, but we don't talk about the other players? Why? Seriously, Brandon Ayuk hasn't had a 100-yard reception, 100-yard receiving yards game in the postseason.
I mean, you can pick apart... nobody played well for the Niners. There's nobody who can come off that field saying... Purdy didn't play well. Kittle didn't play. Like, nobody played well.
Yeah, but those guys have had big games before in those spots. Christian McCaffrey's, look,
Hold on.
Is he going to do it against Philly?
Are you telling me he hasn't performed well in the playoffs as a Niner?
He's been solid. He's been good.
Okay.
He's been all right.
All right. Okay.
I'm just saying, the guy's touched the ball 420 times. He's got 2,000 yards. Make a play. Sir Francis Drake Thomas should
not
be
taking sports works.
Your cookies. Oh, God. Yeah, CMC is hurt. That's the reason.
Frank in Atlanta.
Healthy for 16 games.
What's up, Frank? How you doing?
Hey, how's everybody doing? I hope everybody had, an okay weekend.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to talk X's and O's for a couple seconds while I have you guys.
Yeah.
That game... was the same game we lost to Jacksonville and I think Houston.
Yeah.
I think that was Houston. It was the same game. They used the same defensive game plan that D'Amico and them guys used. They play single high, eight in the box. Every time. They run one defense. And they dare us to throw the ball deep. And we don't have a deep passing game. So when the eighth man comes down in the box, guess what? They shut down the tight end and the back out of the backfield. That's who they concentrate on stopping. And what they did was the fifth man was the spy on Brock Purdy. The eighth man coming down becomes the fifth man on the line of scrimmage. And they did a good job of their defensive tackles getting deep so Brock can't come forward on the line, step up in the pocket, and then get away and buy time. There was nothing there because I'll try to make it quick. We can't throw the ball outside. This is for Evan. Write this down on a post-it note.
I got you, Frank.
Single high, and then outside the numbers.
Thanks.
And next week, when we're playing Philly, and they're mopping Juwan Jennings up off of the field, I want you to look at that post-it note that says single high, outside the numbers.
Thanks, Frank.
My guy. Appreciate love you, Frank. You. Happy New Year, buddy.
Okay.
I don't have a post-it note, but I'll put it in the memory bank.
You know, like this is where I'll think back to week 5 or 6, 7 or 8. Remember we were saying, we were looking at McCaffrey's numbers. We were asking everybody, you think he's lost a step? Some people said, yeah, a little bit, maybe. Well, guess what? Maybe he did. Maybe he has a little bit. And that's the difference between, him breaking through against a team like Seattle.
Well, Frank,
do we have a McCaffrey problem? Is that what you're saying,
Frank?
Because
McCaffrey's the only solution.
I don't want to get into next year. But what he's going to carry it 400 times next year, or get it 400 times?
Let's 2026
exactly.
In 2020.
What it's very possible McCaffrey could be wearing down right now.
He's had one of the most durable seasons in recent memory of a running back at his age. Like, literally the only guys that do the stuff he's done this year or Derrick Henry. And that guy's 6'5", 260.
But this is kind of what I mean. Like, and you said, well, those are the three. And I'm kind of like Guru on this one. If the 49ers go into Philly next weekend and they can't score.
Well, they will.
And they can't score. And then you have to think, and because I said to you, you know, this game did kind of remind me of the Houston game too. Okay, so Houston, Seattle, and then the Eagles will have really exposed them. Well, those are the three, maybe the three or four best defenses in the league. Okay, I get, but this is all we can do? Like, this is all we can do with this offense.
Well, but again,
maybe it's because they don't have the personnel.
Are we having a different conversation if they lose the game 13-10? You know, because I think they get in there. Like, if McCaffrey doesn't drop the ball, I think they score. And then the biggest issue is you couldn't stop the Seahawks from basically just running out the clock. I mean, they got the ball on their own 3-yard line with 6-ish, I want to say, minutes left in the game. You know, it would have been hard to score twice because you're down by 10. But if you have 10 points, does that really make you feel that much better? You still lost, and because your offense couldn't do much.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if they score 3, 10, 13 against Philly, then, you know, maybe we got a problem on offense against really good teams.
I think the biggest issue for me with the Niners this year is that, and they did it kind of against the Seahawks, but they don't get to the quarterback, and they do not turn over teams. And I realize turnovers are a bit of a coin flip sometimes. But, hey, and you're going to hate this, and I don't care. Yetur Gross-Matos, fall on the ball.
You're absolutely out of your
get
gourd.
Get the ball. Do you know how different that game looks in the first half if he falls on that football? Or, sorry, in the second? I think it was in the second.
That ball hit him so fast.
In the chest.
He had no idea what was going on. He was like a drunk in an alley. Like, he was involved in his play.
That's your best take of the day.
And the next thing you know, like, the ball's there. And he reacts, but he's late because he's a big, slow lineman. No way. You know what? I said this to Evan. I'm like, okay, I'll tell you what. Let me get a football. Let me throw it as hard as I can at you from 5 yards away. And right after I throw it, I say, Evan, you're not going to catch it.
And
it's
going to
bounce
you,
off your chest.
Yeah, and I told you, I'm Omar Vizquel. Okay, just because he was me on New Year's on that play doesn't mean that you can't get to the football. It hit him again, like McCaffrey. Where'd it hit you? You have arms. Last I checked, you have multiple limbs on your upper body. Use them. Get to the football and flip the game. Seriously.
The
Niners needed somebody to make a play. And Yetur Gross-Matos was in a position to make the one play that could have got you a turnover.
I need to look at that one again because I remember seeing it on Saturday thinking, that like he wasn't really aware of what just happened all too fast.
Well, probably, but the whole point is that's the one, and this is also a part of the game too that, like, Seattle, to me, they didn't win the game with special teams, right? They obviously missed, they left 6 points on the board, and Myers kicked the ball out of the bounds. But the one thing they did do successfully is they played the field position game virtually the entire night. The Niners were never in plus territory. Sky Moore was a non-factor on kickoffs. They didn't have any punt returns. Like, they were pinned deep for the majority of the game. The one opportunity you had to gain an advantageous position was right after Sam Darnold trips or he steps on his center. Like, you got to take advantage of that. And I feel like the Niners, we talked about it earlier, they have done a pretty good job this season of when they've been given an opportunity to make the most of it. I felt like if they get that fumble, certainly they're getting points, but that's the kind of play that re-energizes the offense, that swings the momentum of the stadium. That's a play that can flip a football game, and that's the kind of play in the playoffs, especially in Philadelphia, whether it's Yetur Gross-Matos, C.J. West, Alfred Collins, one of these guys, you got to make that play.
Yeah, I don't look at it like that.
If you want to win the game, you don't have to, but if you want to win.
Well, it seems to me like you're looking at it as a 50-50 play. And I didn't see it that way at all.
No, I look at it as a fumble that was in your arms. And you didn't make it. It's fine.
And I would say this. If you call that your best opportunity to make a big play, that shows you they had no opportunities outside that.
Well, exactly. But that was the one chance to turn them over. I mean, Darnold didn't really put the ball in harm's way. I mean, they like, I thought that Clay Kubiak for Seattle, he called a pretty scared game. All they did was run the football. And to be fair, it worked, but he was not going to let Darnold see ghosts on Saturday night at Levi's. He just wasn't.
888-957-9570 is the number. Steiny and Evan Giddings with you today. San Francisco 49ers lose to Seattle on Saturday 13-3. Now they have to go to Philadelphia. And, you know, we're talking about this game, and it's kind of like a, you know, some other NFL games where, yeah, you were right there, but were you really right there? Well, yeah, because it was a one-score game in the second half. Okay, but were you really there? And that's a game where I don't look at, yeah, the Niners might have had a chance or two, but that's kind of the way I look at football. How many chances did the Niners have to win that game?
Clint Kubiak.
Two or three?
How
many times Seattle have a chance? 9 or 10?
I would say the Niners had multiple chances to make it a game. Like, to put themselves in position to steal. That's what they were trying to do the whole game. They were trying to steal that game.
Right.
I mean, right from the get-go, you could just tell the way that Seattle was running the football, the lack of third-down conversions for the Niners, they were going to have to steal that football game. And at halftime, and we both agreed on this, we were talking in the thread, we both felt like they had a chance to steal that game.
No doubt.
But
no
they
doubt.
Just, they couldn't make enough plays, and, you know, you could point to, I'm not saying that this was the play, but, you know, if you were going to recover that fumble, you could have. To me, the 3rd and 17 was probably the biggest backbreaker. I mean, I remember I was about to get up in the press box. We're watching, you know, everyone's got their binocs out, and you're just sitting there watching the play unfold. And I was about to get up to go get some coffee because who converts on the 3rd and 17? And you see Walker kind of tossed to the outside, and then the sea just parted. And at that point, I know they only got, I think they got only 3 points on that drive. So you bent, but you didn't break. But that was kind of the play that didn't go the Niners' way the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about the biggest plays of that game, to me, the Walker third down run was the biggest. I think McCaffrey's drop was right up there, but not quite as important because they were down 2 scores at the time. I'm trying to think I didn't think it was much of a chance, but if you're saying they make that play, then that is the third biggest play of the game. But I think
I mean, it took a bad bounce, but you had a shot.
No, they had a shot. They absolutely had a shot. But the question is, does the fact that they had a shot make you feel differently about the way they performed as a whole? And that's where I think 49er fans realize that, you know, it's twofold here. Not only do they have to play 3 on the road instead of 2 at home in that last game that cost you home field, you may have gotten smacked in the face and realized all our shortcomings may show up in the playoffs. And if that's the case, we're probably going to get beat early.
Wasn't that a truth across sports? When you lose, your flaws get highlighted. Like you get exposed. You know, you figure out how good you are against the run, against the pass. If you can't run the football, you can't do this. And it always becomes abundantly clear. The one positive about that football game that the Niners can take away, and why I legitimately don't think they were despondent. Like I don't.
What do you mean?
I mean, after the football game, you heard Kyle, you heard McCaffrey. Yeah. I know it was a big loss. It was an emotional loss. But I don't think whatsoever the Niners are, that game, like, broke them. You played the best team in football, and you lost, but you also, I mean, this was something that we haven't been able to talk about, I think, the entire season because of the schedule, which is, okay, so the Niners got tested. Now, the next time they're tested, how do they perform? They've seen what the most, and I people might disagree, I believe the Seahawks are the most complete team in football. Okay, so you saw what that looks like. What do you have to do now to beat a team like that? They didn't know that before. The best team they played up until that point was, you know, Houston, Jacksonville. I mean, they played the Seahawks back in week 1, but that felt like a year ago. You'd played the Rams, but you didn't, you know, like,
Indy wasn't who they were at the beginning of the year.
Chicago's up there.
Yeah.
And that's the best team that you beat this season, at least late in the year, since you got Brock back. I just feel like that game is, it's a measuring stick game, but now you know what it feels like.
I don't disagree with that one iota. You can't play, like, the Bears' defense isn't great. They faced a top three defense, top 3-5 defense, and they couldn't get anything done. You're right. So, and this is where Kyle Shanahan comes in. Like, a great coach doesn't, a great offensive coach, like, that won't happen 2 weeks in a row, right? Even if Philly's defense is really good. It can't happen 2 weeks in a row, right?
It's the first time all year they haven't scored a touchdown.
Right, that's why I'm saying.
I would bet a lot of money that they'll score a touchdown next week in Philly.
Right.
Or this upcoming
week. I don't want to just whittle it down to a touchdown. I'm saying if the offense sputters in Philadelphia and you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, Houston shut us down, Seattle shut us down, and now Philly shut us down. So, you know, we got to get better. Offensively.
Well, they might, but I think you also prove that even after being shut down for the majority of the football game, you were still kind of in it.
No, I get all that. I'm talking, I just meant like specifically their offense. Like if their offense, like Kyle Shanahan is their offense. And if we're saying 12 times a year, oh, he's in his bag. Kyle's in his bag, coach of the year. And I'm not laughing at that or making fun of that, but you just scored 3 points at home, and now you go to Philly. If you struggle against Philly offensively, then how much does it matter that you can score against a mediocre team? That's all I'm like. Will you tell me it's just a coincidence that Houston and the Seahawks and Philly did that?
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that the two games where they've looked the most outclassed were against Houston and the Seahawks. And I don't want to boil it down to one thing offensively, but against the Texans, you ran the ball for 48 yards. And I know you were trailing most of the game, but Seattle, you ran the ball for 53 yards. And I think Brock Purdy had 10 of them on a scramble. So you got virtually nothing on the ground. If this team cannot run the football, they will not win a playoff game. And by when I don't mean like, you know, 150 yards. I just mean you have to be able to stay ahead of the chains. I mean, Brock Purdy was in a ton of just blatantly obvious passing downs. And against Seattle, I know that people are calling and saying they're stacking the box. And it's like, but not they don't have to stack the box because their defensive linemen were winning every single play. Run or pass. Brock Purdy was rushed. Brock Purdy had to extend plays. And their secondary was keeping guys in check. It's like, that's what a dominant defense looks like. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when the Niners have not been able to run the football, they do not win. They had 67 rushing yards against the Buccaneers. Didn't win. You know, you look at the Texans, obviously, under 50. Didn't win. The last loss against the Rams, 74 yards. Didn't win. It's really hard for them to do it without some semblance of a running game.